Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministries. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We'd just like to welcome you again to be part of this session this morning. We are excited and we are delighted that God has given us another day to be part of His service, to be part of His worship, to give Him glory, give Him honor. We don't take it lightly. We know that it's an honor to be here this morning, a privilege. There's so many people that have not made it in this morning, but glory to God, He has allowed us to come in. And we are very, very, very grateful this morning. Praise the Lord. We are honored that He has chosen us this morning to come into this sanctuary. And Father God, we just bless You, we praise You, and we glorify Your name. We exalt You. We magnify Your name, O God. God, we ask You, O God, to move in this sanctuary today by Your Spirit, O God. Lord, we recognize it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by Your Spirit, saith the Lord. Holy Spirit of the living God, we welcome You now in this house, in our hearts, O God. We ask You, O God, to touch us in a miraculous way today. Father, there's somebody today that is crying out for healing. Lord, I got a message yesterday to pray for this young lady that is suffering with a four-stage kidney failure. She just had two babies, had to deliver the babies premature. The babies are doing well. They're probably about a month old or so. We were praying for these babies for a while, and the babies had to be delivered. But Father, we believe, and we know that You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And Father, we know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So we are depending and we are counting and trusting in the power that's in us, the Spirit that You have placed in us, O God, to continue to elevate our faith and trust in You and who You are. Lord, we know that You can heal this young woman, God. God, her life has just begun. Lord, she have not even seen anything yet. Glory to God. God, I ask that, Father God, not only that she can, that You would heal her, but You would draw her to You, O God, to be a witness, to be a testimony for what You have done in her life and what You will do through her life. Father, I ask You even right now, even as the woman with the issue of blood pressed in and touched the hem of Your garment this morning, my brothers and I, my sisters and I, we are pressing and touching the hem of Your garment on the behalf of this young woman. I'm asking You, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, to let your power rest upon this young woman. God, the doctors are saying that she might not make it. Her kidneys are so deteriorated. But Father, we believe, oh God, that You are able to go in there and, oh God, replace those kidneys, renew kidneys, oh God. Lord, You are the same one that breathed the breath of life into her lungs, oh God. You formed her out of the Mary clay. But Father God, You are the one that gave her the breath. You are the one that placed the Spirit in her. God, You said the life is in the blood. So, Father, we declare today that her blood, oh God, will be transfused this morning from heaven, oh God, that she would have clean blood, oh God, flowing through her kidneys, through her lungs, through her heart, oh God, through her liver, through her pancreas. Oh, my God, through her brain from heaven this morning. Father, we declare this morning that her kidneys are healed, oh God. Not only healed, but that she has new kidneys. Lord, we are expecting a supernatural report, oh God, that as they go back and check, oh God, they will say that something is happening in her body. Instead of she dying, she's living. God, she shall not die, but she shall live to declare the works of the Lord. Father, we declare this morning that this is a new day in her life. This is a day of miracle, a miraculous day in her life. And Father, we declare this morning that even as she walks through the valley of shadow death, she will not fear any evil, for You are with her. Lord, You promised never to leave her or forsake her. God, continue to watch her over her. God, what would it be like for her little babies to grow up and never ever see their mother? Lord, can't even recognize. Lord, don't know who that their mother, then to find out that their mother died while they were still little babies. Father, I declare this morning that, Lord, you are God of life, Lord God. And my God, I'm calling life from heaven to earth for this young woman. God, I've never met her, don't know her, just know her name. But, Father, I'll declare and decree, Father God, that you would touch Anja Sue Wilson, Lord God. Anja Sue Wilson, Father, touch her right now. Touch her right now, my God. Holy Spirit of the living God, go in and do what only you can do. Do surgery on her body right now. Do surgery. Use your heavenly instruments, O God, to perform that surgery on her and remove those old kidneys in place, new kidneys in place. Father, I just ask, O God, that you would do this thing for us, O God. It is our desire that you would get all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, O God. It's not for them to say that, oh, yes, the pastor was praying for it, the evangelist was praying, the prophet was praying, the minister was praying, O God, the deacon was praying. It's not for us to, for them to say, and Christina was praying. It's not for that. Prophet Smile, son of Mother Irene, Pastor Celeste Morphis, for them to say that, Lord. We're not praying for them to say that, but we're praying, oh God, that we can say that our God is a healer, our God is a deliverer, our God is a restorer. That's why we're praying, oh God, because we know our God can do all things but fail. He cannot fail. And God, we are trusting you this morning. We ask you, oh God, to move in the atmosphere this morning. Move in her atmosphere, oh God. Saturate the place that she is right now. Take away the pain out of her body. Lord, give her faith. Give her faith, oh God. Give her a reason to want to live, oh God. Take away the pain from her. And Lord, I pray this morning, even as she begins to go to the bathroom to urinate, she would notice that her urine, the coloring has changed, oh God, because her kidneys is operating right. Father, I pray this morning, Lord God, that there will be no more pain. Lord God, I ask, oh God, that you would allow this young woman, oh body, to rejuvenate this morning. God, it's not about me, it's about you, Jesus. And Lord, I just believe, God, that you are doing it right now. I believe that you are touching her right now. I believe that you're healing her body right now. I believe, oh God, that you are doing what no one else can do, God. You are doing the impossible because you are the impossible God. Lord, you make it possible. God, I thank you right now. You are the supernatural God. You take the natural and turn them to supernatural. You put your supernatural on them. Lord, I just thank you this morning. God, I pray that you would touch this service this morning. Even let me go into a little worship this morning before we begin to get the woman of God coming and bring this mighty word and begin to teach and explain what God you have given to her. I pray this morning that we are able to saturate the atmosphere and that you will receive this worship from us. Oh God, as we saturate the atmosphere with your presence, oh God, we ask you to touch everyone under the sound of my voice that is going through some type of ailment in their body, some type of sickness in their body. God, begin to heal. Heal our bodies, oh God. Heal us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, oh God. We are your children. We are your servants. We are your instruments. We are your vessels that you have chosen before the foundation of the world to use this morning, to use every morning, oh God, to bring glory to your name. Touch our children. Touch our grandchildren, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you would touch those, oh God, that are crying out. Oh God, you said it, that if we call upon you, that you would answer us, oh God. So this morning we are calling out, oh God, for those that are sick, oh God. We're not even asking for ourselves this morning, but we are asking for all those that are sick, oh God, in their bodies, that are suffering from some type of infirmity, oh God. They are going through, Lord God, and some folk want to throw in the towel. They want to just give up and say they don't believe nothing can happen because the doctors keep telling them they can't do anything as they have done all they can do. But the doctors may have done all that they can do. But, Lord, it's in your hand. And we know that when the doctors did all they can do, Lord, you'll do the rest. Father, I just thank you right now. I thank you this morning for supernatural healing right now. I thank you this morning for healing cancer. I thank you this morning for healing diabetes. Lord, I thank you for healing lupus, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for healing the eyesight that are messed up and jacked up. I thank you, Lord, for touching those that are suffering with ear problems. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the young man that went through so many surgery with a face deformity, oh God, born without ears. But Lord, you have given the scientists skills that they were able to implant, give him ears, put ears on his head. Lord, they were able to put new eardrums in. putting an instrument inside that he was able to hear. Lord, I know that you are a majestic God, and you give wisdom to the simple. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning for what you are doing and what you're about to do, Lord God, what you have already done. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for the healing balm of Gilead. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the word, oh God. I thank you for your word is true. The word is marvelous, oh God. Holy Spirit of the living God, saturate the atmosphere now. Sterilize the atmosphere. Clean the atmosphere. Everything that would try to stop the word, every hindrance, every satanic, every demonic, every witch, oh God, every warlock, oh God, that would come against this word, against this line, oh God. I ask you, oh God, to cast them into the pit of hell as far as the east from the west, oh God. Then cast them away. Lord, cast them away from the time. Father, I rebuke every torment of the enemy this morning, oh God. And glory to God. I thank you, Lord, for the victory that you have given to us, oh God, because we are a victorious people. We are washed in the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit of the living God. Here we go with the worship right now. Just sit back, relax, and then in a few minutes, the woman of God will come on and bring the word. Just let us saturate the atmosphere as the Spirit is direct. May I play a little bit of your kind of glory this morning?
Amen.
Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Here is my heart. Give it, Lord. Here is my life.
Yeah.
I need you.
Father, we need you. We need your presence. We need your glory. We need, oh God, your spirit this morning, oh God, to move in our midst this morning. Holy Spirit of the living God, we invite you in this house, oh God, to come and take control. Lord, we ask you to sit on the throne of our hearts this morning. Lord, take control over our tongues, over our ears, over our eyes, Lord. Everything that we say and do, God, let it be to your glory, Father God. Lord, we ask that you will let each and every one of us decrease and you would increase in us even the more. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask you this morning that you would touch this woman of God. And Lord God, that you would use her for your glory, oh God. God, that you would impart new wisdom, new revelation, oh God. Give her new clarity, oh God, as she releases what you have given to her, oh God. Let it flow from the depths of her soul, living water for those, all of us that would hear, oh God, the word from the north, the south, the east, and the west, oh God. Let it be a stirring in our spirits, oh God, to be drawn closer to you, to do the things that are pleasing to you, to do the things that would bring honor to you, Father. I ask, oh God, even right now, God, that you would allow the angel of heaven to leave heaven and bring the coals from the altar of God and rest upon her lips this very selfsame morning, oh God. God, cause the coals to purge her, O God, of everything that is not like you, all the iniquity, Lord God, as you have even done for Isaiah in the time of Hezekiah, Lord God, purge her, O God, for we all are people of unclean lips, and we stay between people of unclean lips. We ask you, O God, to purge this woman of God this morning, God, that she will speak only what thus saith the Lord, O God, all that you have instructed her to say, O God, and do, she will do and say this morning. Father, I pray, God, that if she will speak of herself this morning, not of you, God, that you would cause her tongue to cleave to the roof of her mouth and she never speak another word. God, allow her to speak even the oracles of heaven, O God, here on earth. God, I declare and decree, God, that she is a servant of God. And Father God, that she would bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, Minister Patty, I'm going to move out the way and the mic is already in your hand. Go ahead and do what thus says the Lord. I'm out the way. I look like she's not ready, so we'll go back on to the go back on. See what I got here. We'll go back to Japan of Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Hello. Hello. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood.
Yes. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, sir. I was on the line all the time. If something happened with the phone.
Yeah, but I'm here. You are there now because I was calling you and the number was on. There was another phone number on there, 205. 6303. Evangelist Campbell, are you on?
I'm on, sir. Can you hear me?
That's Minister Potty.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead. I was just trying to see if a lady was on there that we needed to pray for, but I don't hear her. Evangelist Campbell. So, Minister Potty, I already prayed for you. Go ahead. You're getting the echo, I don't know why, but go ahead and the service. Do whatever the Lord wants you to do, because I already speak for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Apostle, I want to. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh. All right.
I'm getting some disturbance. I don't know where it's coming from. But.
I hear it also. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Bless the Lord, all that's within. Apostle, I think this is coming from my phone. I'm going to try another. Would you hold me? Apostle.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I think you have the echo. You don't hear that disturbance now?
It's just a little echo. Go ahead.
All right. Greetings to all my brothers and sisters for the whole world. I just thank God for your presence, and I thank you for being on the air. I thank God for all that he's done for all of us. And I give him the praise and the glory. I acknowledge the apostle and I praise God for him, his wife, and his family. On today, I want to talk to you today about worry. You know, worry, it's not a good thing. And then again, it affects so many of us. And even in the body of Christ, though we believe on God and we trust God and we pray to God all the time, we still have a problem with overcoming worry.
Amen.
Now, the thing about worry is sometimes you don't know what you fight, and you can't fight what you don't know. And so therefore it's very, very important to get an understanding. Like the Bible says, out of all you're getting, get an understanding. Because if you don't have an understanding about what you're trying to fight, you are already defeated.
Amen.
And that's why we must, as Christians, search the scriptures, to search the Bible, to learn what we need to know and to understand through the Holy Spirit what we need to do as far as fighting situations like this. And if we seek God, he'll give us what we need to overcome. And that's what we're seeking today for all of us, is to learn how to overcome worry. Worry will be with the Satan will always use worry as a tool. So it is not an end to worry. There's not an end to the fight to overcome worry. And when things start looking well and all that, it's fine. But Satan is he'll come back. So we should never be at a place that we are so comfortable that we forget in the good times that Satan will bring back worry. And we will always have to overcome it. Let me explain about worry, because sometimes we don't know what worry is, but it's whenever you have these feelings of anxiousness and apprehensiveness, and you have troubles, or you're fearful, or you're in doubt, or you're confused. All these are indications of worry. And even though they're common emotions, they affect our minds and they bring challenges to our mind. But the Bible says that with the mind we serve God. And then it also says an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Now, we have to fight against that, and we have to learn how to deal with these mind challenges, and we must rely on the Word of God. We have to rely on the Word of God, because otherwise you will constantly be defeated. And that's not the way God made us. He made us to be overcomers, because we're like him. And the only way that we can overcome worry is that we have to wrap our minds around the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us what we need to do to oppose these negative thoughts, and the way we do it is with the positive Word of God. Later on, I will give you some examples. As to how we live with these situations, and then we'll talk too about how to overcome them. Now, first of all, we must first seek God's wisdom. And I'll give you a verse on that. It's Proverbs 2:6-7. And it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So surely, we can see that the Lord has given us the answer right here as to how to overcome worry. First, We seek his wisdom. And how? What did he say? He says he will give it to us. And not just wisdom, but he will give us the knowledge and the understanding. That's the completeness. And once God gives you that, it's our responsibility to trust him, to use the tools he has given us. And that's what he says. He will give wisdom from his mouth. He will, that's his revelation. He'll give you his revelation. And from that, you gain knowledge. We gain knowledge. And with that, he will also give us an understanding. And you understand that we just talked about that. We must have an understanding of what we are up against. We must have an understanding as to what our enemy is and how to fight. These are your weapons. These are your tools. And then secondly, we have to learn how to put God first. Now, Matthew 6:31-34, it says, "But first, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And that's one of the problems that we're up against. It is because some of us, we have a problem with knowing how to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Learning how to talk to God, to reach God, to pray. We all have our different views, and we've been taught differently how to seek the kingdom of God. And we have our own versions and traditions of seeking God and and the kingdom of God. And so therefore, we sort of get off so that the other part, all these things shall be added to you, they don't get quite added. And it's not that God's word is wrong. It's just that the way we go about things with the understanding that we have, and a lot of it's based on the traditions that we've been raised under by man. The Bible says the traditions of man makes the laws of God of no effect. So a lot of times in our church raising, we are raised with so many traditions that we don't know how to seek the kingdom of God as we should. Now, one thing about God, he created each one of us individually according to his plan for us. So in other words, my makeup may not be the same as your makeup. God does things as he will. God is a God of, I would say, variety, you know. The birds are different, the fish are different, but they're still fish and they're still birds. And they still have the same, whatever their species are, they pretty much operate the same. They are made up the same, but they may do some things different. But our makeup is that of God, and we look the same, and we are made up the same, and we're made in his image. But God can't have everybody doing the same thing, because that wouldn't, everybody can't be a head, and everybody can't be an arm, and everybody can't be a leg. And I like the thought of him being a God of variety, so that it's just like the tree and the branches. But everybody has a certain purpose that God has purposed them for.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes that when everything comes together, it's a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I may not. I remember when I used to, when I first got saved, I was a person of few words. I didn't know how to talk to God because I was a person of few words. But what I had been taught is that you had to pray this certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tried my best to do it that way, but I couldn't. I went through all the motions, and I would get down on my knees for an hour, and I would pray. To me, it was just the same thing, repetitious over and over. And I kept thinking to myself, well, why do we have to ask God the same thing over and over and over and over when the Bible says this? Now, I'm a baby. I was a baby saint, but some things just didn't, they weren't coming together for me. But I still wanted to not be rebellious, as I was taught that if you went against the grain, that's rebellion. So I didn't want to be rebellious, and I truly wanted to be saved. But it was not this, I did not get what I needed from what I was doing. But you know what I would do when I would get by myself? I think of these songs that I would hear that was so heartfelt and would say to God the things that I wanted to say that I couldn't say in words. So for years, I prayed in song. And I could feel the presence of the Lord, but when I got back to the traditions of church or denomination, I would do, as Paul said, when I was in Rome, I behaved as a Roman, but I wasn't, what I needed wasn't being accomplished there, but more got accomplished at the time that I prayed and I prayed and talked to God in the only way that I could, that, and I got results. God began to work and I began to feel, but I also felt almost like a hypocrite when I would go back and I would get on my knees and I'd pray, because I would fall asleep saying the same thing, and then I would feel guilty. Well, God deals with us on an individual basis. And as long as you're seeking God, you can see God in your personality. You can talk to God the way you talk, you need to talk to him. Because he's a God of all levels and of all people that seek him. And he will in no wise turn you away, because he knows your thoughts. He knows your motives. So you seek him in the way that you can have results with him. And God, he allows that. And he will meet you where you are. So, you know, don't get caught up in the traditions of man and the way one man may do something, may talk to God, and the way you talk to God. He hears you. And then he'll talk to you and he'll tell you what he wants you to do. He will give you the wisdom that you need. He gives everyone that seeks him the wisdom. And that's the one thing that's his. Wisdom is just wisdom. It's the ability to take on challenges in the way that God wants you. So that's his way. There's no tradition to wisdom. It's God's wisdom. So it's perfect and it's pure and it's oneness. And his knowledge and his understanding that he gives you is not confusing as man is. Because man has all kinds, depending on denominations too, as to way they think or how God does things that's infused with the traditions of man. With God, you cannot go wrong. You can relax, and you will accomplish what God sets you out to accomplish on an individual basis. But the whole makeup still is complete. You know, with the kingdom, it's just like all the branches make up the whole, everything makes up the body, different things, the legs, the arms, whatever, makes up the body. In your individual purpose, it will come together with everybody else in the body's individual purpose, and that is to glorify God and strengthen the kingdom of God. So you put God first, and he says all these things are the things that you need, the things you want, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. God will give you these things. So therefore, the Bible says that don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own, will worry about its own things. Now, you know, we say words, but we really don't think about what we say. We repeat the Bible and the verses, but we don't really break it down sometimes to see what it says. We just quote. Sounds good a lot of times, but sounding good and sticking is two different things. You can say things, but unless you believe what you say with an understanding, it don't stick. When times come, hard times come, or these things come, where it comes, challenges come, they're just words because you really don't have an understanding of what you're saying. So let's investigate this just a little bit. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Well, you know, the Bible tells us about the birds, how they, how beautiful they are, and how that they don't have to worry. And he knows everyone. He even knows the sparrows. And are we not more than that? We know all that scripture, and we know about the flowers, and they don't toil, and but yet he provides for them day by day. And are we not more than them? We know all of that. We say that. But when it comes to challenges, when it comes to proving that we believe that, many times many of us fail at it. But I understand why the Word of God says to study. Study. Because that's where you're going to get your understanding, not just reading. Mm-hmm. But you got to study. And then you have to depend on God for to rightly divide it, the word. And once you get this, the understanding and the knowledge, you've got the power to overcome. Mm-hmm. Again, let's say, okay, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Now, is it you? Have you ever thought about that when you read that? Tomorrow is not you. You are not an it. So does this apply to you or us? When already God says, if you seek me first, all these things will be added. What things? The things that you need today. The things that you want today. The desires of your heart today. But now if you want that, you do the things of God first. You submit yourself to God. We must submit ourselves to God first. And therefore, this is what causes us, God, to do for us. So don't worry about what tomorrow will bring, because, you know, tomorrow is not promised. An hour from now is not promised. A minute from now is not promised. So there's an urgency that you do this right now. It goes on to say, sufficient for the day is his own trouble. Sufficient for today, for the day, is its own trouble. Whose own trouble? It's not a who, it's an it. And that's tomorrow. That does not apply to you, because you have submitted to God. You have sought him first, and he knows your needs, and he will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. He will give you the desires of your heart. If his word, if he said it, that's his word. Can he take it back? No. It must accomplish what it sets out to do. So you understand that it is not God the reason that we don't have these things. It's what we are or are not doing to for his word to be fulfilled through us. So the second way is to overcome worry is to put God first. Now, a lot of times we do things, okay? We want God, and I'm going to use some examples. We want God to give us prosperity. We need money. We always need money. That's the first thing. So what do we do to get it? I want to ask some questions. Have you ever backstabbed a coworker to get his position or her position? Have you ever lied on a friend to get that friend for your friend, his friend for your friend or her friend? Have you ever torn down somebody's reputation, even in the church, to get closer to the clique or the pastor? Have you ever had bad thoughts or plotted to get more money? Have you ever schemed on the government to be taken care of by the government? Have you ever bought all your wants and used other people to supply your needs? Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't raise your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
But these are some of the things that we do in order to get what God would give us anyway, without all the sin that comes with it, to cause us not to prosper and not to be totally in the will of God, that we can receive all these other things. Now, the third way to overcome worry is to trade anxiety, trade the worry for prayer life, for prayer. When it comes on, when that spirit of anxiety, that spirit, overwhelming spirit of fear, try and engulf you. Yeah, humanly, you're going to feel that. It may shake you for the moment. It may tempt you for the moment. There is a devil. He is a tempter. But the Bible says, yield not to temptation. Yield not to temptation. That's for your own good. So you don't have to suffer the consequences and not get the things you want. But go into prayer. When fear tries to come and hit you, just go into tongues. Go into tongues and just start praying to God. But let me tell you how you do it. You don't have to beg God for nothing. You don't have to beg God. God's word says that he wants you to have all these things. He wants you to be
He wants you to be prosperous. He wants these things. You have no idea for the plans that God has for you, and they are all good. That's what the Bible says. The Word of God says, you don't know the plans I have for you, but they are all good. They're all good. So if we don't get that, guess what? It is not God. It is us. Now, when you go into your prayer, go into it in the spirit. Because sometimes with an understanding is your understanding, and it's not just the perfect prayer. So go into the spirit praying. Override the thought with prayer in the spirit. Just go into it. Just go in with your hands just in a fist matter and start beating down the lies that Satan, the feelings that Satan's trying to bring. Just start like you're fighting. Like you're fighting for your life. Just go in with your hands. You know how women do? You put your head down and you just start rolling your arms. With your fist ball up, just start knocking down the walls of fear. Hey, you might not even see your target, but just start hitting anyway. But you hit with the Word of God, and you want the perfect one? Hit it with the praying in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can get to places that you don't know how to get to. It can get to places that you don't even understand. The Holy Spirit knows how to approach God for you. So that's what you do. When that initial fear, don't let it come too long. Go right ahead, right then. Go into it. But go into it with the mind of thanksgiving first. See, because when you start thanking God, and you need to know what you're thanking God for so you can do this and not feel like you're a hypocrite. You know, we as saints, and we must learn how to speak situations into existence. And so when you go in with thanksgiving, you go in specifically knowing that whatever the situation is, you're going to thank God for the outcome. Because he already told you what the outcome is. Now, you have to know what the outcome is. How do you know what the outcome is? It's because you study the Word of God. So you know, you embed this into yourself, and the more you do it, the more it becomes a habit, and the more that you conform to it. So it's practice makes perfect. Any way it goes. If you practice evil, you perfect in evil. If you practice righteousness, you perfect in righteousness. It's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you do anything, you create a habit. And then as you continue to practice that habit, the stronger and the better that you get it till you get to a point of you starting to perfect. And that's what we want to start doing when anxiety or worry comes. Satan got to practice. He got to practice to keep bringing it back to you every time that he see you disfocused. If you're too happy, he wait, because the element of surprise is his best surprise. To catch you off guard is his best weapon, the element of surprise, because you're not focused. There was a place in the Bible where, I think this was when they was going to tear down the walls of Jericho, and it was I forgot how many men, but the end result is the men that were chosen were the men that when they got to water, they had been thirsty for a long time. Some of the soldiers just fell down in the water and just started drinking the water, head all in the water. But the ones that were chosen were the ones that knelt down like dogs. They drank the water, but they were still looking around for the enemy. Those were the men that were chosen to fight. And as we know this, that when God starts blessing, we can get disfocused. We start enjoying the blessing and get comfortable in the blessing and start claiming the blessing, and we stop looking for the enemy. Well, the enemy is always going to be around. If the enemy has the audacity to be before the Lord every day, accusing the saints, believe me, he's not going anywhere. He's just waiting for you to fall down in the water without drinking and not looking for him. And when you come up, it's where he determines your demise. Somebody can help me say, but God.
But
God in his mercy. But God in his mercy.
Yes.
To protect
yes.
us even in our weakness. But saints, we must learn how to overcome one of the biggest destroyers of the brothers. You know, I'm going to go off a little bit and tell you about this. I'm going to finish this and I'm going to tell you something else. We must trust God. Listen, we must trust God to give us his peace. His peace. Now, you got to understand peace, too. Because, see, our peace, our definition of peace is not right. Our definition of peace is when everything's going right, we at peace. That's not God's definition. And that's the thing. We have it with God as long as God is protecting us from the devil, and then our thoughts can be good. But let me tell you something. This is not our home. This is not heaven. This earth, we're just foreigners, travelers. We got a job. And the job is we gotta help save as many people as we can. You know why? Because that's God's purpose for us. He loves people, all people. I don't care whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. He loves his creations so much so that he sent his son that we could have life everlasting and life abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we get confused about this life abundantly. We think we're supposed to have utopia and not, like I was taught, when you give your life to the Lord, everything's going to be all right. Your husband ain't going to talk to you crazy anymore. You're not going to have to, oh, it's going to be howdy, howdy, and a never goodbye, and everything's going to be coming up roses. That is not what we are here for. That is not what we're here for. We're here to fight. We're here to war. We're even here to suffer. This is not your reward, but your reward is coming. But God, in his infinite justice and judgment, can protect you, protect your mind, protect your being while you're at war. While we're at war. We're trying to enjoy all this. Yeah, God will give us this. You know, it's nothing to God. But it's too much to us. It's too much to us. And we forget trying to get this and remember what we are here for. God will give us even the things we don't even ask for. He's happy to do it. Oh, you know, you're thinking about me. Let me think about you. You in your mind, you wanted this. I know you didn't ask me for it, but, you know, I'm really proud of you. I'm gonna give you this. I've even said, God, I didn't even ask you for this. How many of us have said, God, I didn't even ask you for this? Or God, I only asked you for this, and you gave me this. I didn't even ask for this. Because he's like any other parent and better. You be good. You honor your parent. You obey your parent. You praise your parent. We're parents. Most of us are, many of us are parents. What would you do for a child that did that for you? That appreciated you and would tell you every day, Mama, Daddy, I sure do appreciate you. You've been so good to me. You fed me today. You didn't have to feed me. You made a way for me. And when my enemies was coming, I remember the time that these boys was gonna jump on me, or these people was gonna jump on me, and you came and they saw you and ran. I knew you would protect me. I knew when they saw you, they wasn't gonna bother me. I got this going, Dad, but I know you're going to, I told him, I trust my daddy. He goes, what would you do? That's your dear child. You're going to give him everything you think he wants. With wisdom. With wisdom. Some of us, it's some things we can't take, and we can't, and God will not put no more on us to bear than we can bear. Now, some of us, we cannot take a lot of prosperity now. We get disfocused, and we forget. And it's happened to the greatest of men, even. I've seen where it's happened to many pastors. Yeah. The spirit of grandiosity. Too privileged. Forget. Congregation give you too much glory. They start praising you instead of praising God. They forget. You forget too. So with wisdom and sovereignty, God takes care of us. He gives us peace. And this giving us peace is not like the world's peace. The world's peace is not. And the peace he gives us that, even in these situations that seem to overwhelm us, that doubt tries to creep upon us, we can rest in the fact that I see this. It's happening. That's the reality of it. Yeah. The doctor said I had cancer. Yeah. They said they could do all they could do. But God says that he's able to do abundantly and above anything I could ask or think. So if I ask him to heal me, he's more than able, and I'm going to stand on that. Because his word says so, and I'll go back to my past and see what he has done. From back then to now, I can reminisce on how you brought me out. When I go back and think, Lord, I was here, and it seemed like I was going to fall, but you would not let me utterly fall. You caught me, and you brought me back. I was here. And you brought me here. I was here. And when you start to go back and think on the ways and on the things that God has brought you through and brought you out, that gives you strength for one more day, another minute, another hour. That's your peace. It's going to God, telling him what you know he's able to do. Tell him what you know that he will do. Tell him that I read where you will not let your servant be ashamed. And I think I've told this story before, and I just want to reminisce on it again. I was in a position one time that I lost my job. I lost. And they were trying, the company, the mortgage company was trying to take my house. The Lord blessed me. He always blessed me. That was my true area of faith was finances. I could believe God for my finances. And I did, because I did it for so long and so much that God, he supplied miraculously my ability to pay my finances. Now, I look at my checkbook, and I would have to close that checkbook because it was impossible to pay it from the checkbook. This is why I learned that jobs and all that we be seeking is not our source. It's not our source. And I realized from looking at my checkbook that there was not enough source. But I wasn't willing to do things that would cause me what I thought would cause me to prosper or do better. I truly relied on God. And then I began to get ill, and that was in my areas where I wasn't as strong. And so I became ill. I became sick, and I couldn't and I could not work. And then the company came and tried to take my house. They lied and said that I didn't pay my house note for 10 months. Well, I had receipts from the bank because the Lord had warned me to stop writing personal checks and to start getting the bank checks so the bank would have copies. And I obeyed him. And that's what I started to do. And one day I sent my house note in. They sent it back with a letter saying that we're foreclosing because you have not paid in 10 months. Well, I went to an attorney, and I took all my paperwork to the attorney, and I showed that I did not owe them. Well, to make a long story short, the attorney knew their attorney, and they were in cahoots together, and they both plotted up against me and tried to take the house despite the fact that I had the receipts. And then my attorney told me, after I didn't hear from him, he says, well, they're getting ready to foreclose on the house. I said, what about all the receipts that I brought and I showed and I had proof? But I didn't have knowledge as to how to fight other than an attorney. Well, the attorney bankrupted me. The attorney bankrupted me. And because I did not have an understanding of knowledge how things went, I was tricked into a bankruptcy as well. Well, to make a long story short, he says the only way that they won't foreclose on you, that you have to come up with $6,000+. That's how much I was supposed to be behind, even though I had the receipts. So he knew my situation. He knew I did not have that kind of, anything to deal with that. But I went to see about someone. And when I did, I went to see about someone. That person asked me a question. She says, how are you doing? What's going on? And I was sort of troubled, but I wasn't, I had enough practice in my finances to know that the Lord could do anything he wanted to, and I knew he was not going to let me be ashamed. He was not going to let me lose my house to these crooks. But I had no power of my own nor resources to fight. But I stopped by to see about someone that was sick. that had just moved to Memphis from New York, I think it was, or Chicago, one or the other. And I just told the person, I said, well, you know, they're trying to take my house, so on and so on. She said, well, how much did they say that you owed them? And I told her. So we talked on, and then she left, and she came back up. And when she came back up, she came up with a check for that amount until I could prove or find another way to keep from losing the house. Now, that was a person I would not have asked to help me because I was used to God. But God is not in a box. He'll use a donkey he'll use anybody that will say yes. He'll even use your enemy to help you. And there was the money. Well, to go to show you, Satan does not play fair. I took the money to the attorney's office. He wasn't there. He said, just leave it next door. Just leave it next door. I said, no, I won't do that. So when he came and I brought the money, he says, oh, you've got this much money? He could not understand it because he was looking at my sources the wrong way, as any human being would have. So, but all in all, he then said to me, well, you got to pay some more money. I said, this is what you asked for. You got to pay some more money. You got to pay another, an advance house note. So I left out. I left him with the check that I was supposed to bring. And when I got to the car, before I got home, someone had loaned me the money that they said I owed. I took it right back up there and gave it to him. And you could have bought him for a penny. And without a job, I was able to pay back everybody that lent me the money. Pay it back on time. God gave me a time, and he fixed it where I paid it back, even without the job. So the job wasn't my source. The only source I had was trusting in God, relying in him, and he did not let me be ashamed.
Uh-huh.
And though that person bankrupted me, look, I went to another attorney, and he bankrupted me too. Uh-huh. And I didn't know. And I asked, the bank froze my money, and I went and I said, what's going on? He said, look like you're bankrupt. You bankrupt. I said, I have not bankrupt. So the attorney I went to for help with the other situation told me he bankrupted me. I said, well, how did you bankrupt me? And I didn't even give you any money or anything. All you had was my information. He said, I figured you might want to. Now, how many of us would have given up on that? Well, I want you to know that out of all Satan did, because the Bible said when he comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard for his people. And God rose up a standard, and I was able to not only get, when I built, God taught me how to build a house, trust him to go from bank to bank, and build a $322,000 house with those bankruptcies and no money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this seems unbelievable, but that's how God works, with faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how God works. He is that kind of God, that if you will just put your trust in him and do the things that he asks, he will give you the desires of your heart, and all these things will be added.
Mm-hmm.
He will fix it where your blessings will catch up with you and overtake you if you would just trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Your trust is your key to overcoming worry.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God not the peace of man, not the peace of tradition, but the peace of God, now, which surpasses all. This is what he'll do for you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take your worry away. You believe this? He'll take your worry away. I'm going to show you how. He'll take it away because of this. He will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Not you. The Bible says he'll supply your every need. It's not your need for your will, for your heart and your mind to be guarded. We take it upon to take God's job, to guard our heart and our mind, when our true, what our job is to come to him by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. That's our job. So you gotta understand where we work, where our job is. But we try to take on God's job. And that's where our problems starts and ends. God will do this if we will do this. You understand? There is the condition for your mind to be guarded and your heart to be guarded is that you come to God, lose the anxiety by coming to God. Let your request be known and thank him for it. And he will give you his peace, and he will guard your heart and your mind. And every time Satan brings it back, the Bible says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Because I'm going to tell you something. I used to hear all the time, resist the devil and he'll flee. That is not true. Because a lot of times the devil knows you better than you know yourself because you done told him everything. So he know. He done practiced on you long enough to know you haven't got a chance. You haven't got a chance to resist Satan on your own. Because if you mess around and lean towards your own understanding, and that will definitely be your demise with Satan. You have no weapon, no tools, no nothing. You just a little bit of lamb with a big lion coming. And if you don't submit yourself to God, where's your defense? So how are you going to resist? The Bible says first, is this the key? Submit yourself to God. How do you do it? You submit to his will. You come to him and let your prayer and your supplications be known and thank him for what he has already done. Because see, what happens is it's done, and let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's already done. You're just calling it down to earth. And God says, whatever you lose from heaven, whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. So you lose your things in heaven. Also, the Bible says that the violent takes by force. You got to get mad. You just got to get mad at the devil, and you just make a decision that, hey, If you think you're going to kill me, we're going to fight. Put your hand down and just go into him with fists. With the word of God is your fist. Give him the word. When he said, oh, you're going to die. Oh, no. Just start fighting. My God said, I'll live and I shall not die. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. I rebuke every manifestation that's a lie that comes before me. I lose the healing manifestations of God to take place right now in my body. Now, you know what? You may have a little task. It may not happen. Your miracle may not come exactly the way that you want it. But I'm going to tell you this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that man, he need not look for nothing from God. That's a hard pill to swallow. But it's the truth. And many, many, many saints are double-minded today. Because you know what? They got one foot on the truth and one foot on the world's truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's double-minded. That's double-minded. And then you get upset with God. We get upset with God. I won't say you. We get upset with God because he don't answer our prayer. Hey, study the word. God cannot lie. It's not that he don't want you to have it. But you can't not do nothing and get something. There's conditions to getting what you want. You got to do something. You know, I got a little story that was sort of, it's not funny, but it's so real. And the story said there was a man, and he was dying. He was approaching death. And one of the things that he couldn't get out of his mind was this. He said, you know, there's been a lot of trouble in my life, but most of it never happened. Think about it. There was a lot of things that happened in my life. A lot of things. But most of which never happened. What did it tell you? This man thought negative thoughts about his life. It was something that he did apparently on a regular basis. So you could see how he was passing with regret and worry still. He's still regretting and worrying, even at death. But what does the Bible say? Well, as a man die, he going to rise the same way, right? So we can talk people into heaven all we want to, but the thing is this. This is a reality. Worry is a reality. Overcoming worry is a necessity to life, both lives, this one and the next one. This thing that this man experienced, it was a result of negative thinking. And, you know, I heard Joyce Myers once preach, and she preached that, in her preaching she was saying that negative thinking is called, another word would be evil foreboding. You know, negative thinking is evil. You know, evil-mindedness. It's evil. And to predict it ahead of time is what she considered evil foreboding. Many of us as saints do evil foreboding. We predict negative things before they even happen, and then they don't happen. I remember when I used to think so negatively, and I just go through all kinds of emotions. I would just not be want to be bothered with people. I didn't want them talking to me because I didn't trust them, and I knew they was up to something. And then whatever was going on, man, the worst. Satan was he was very, very appreciative for me to allow him to come in and take me to a higher realm of evil thinking and negative thinking. So he took me so far that I felt like I couldn't get out. And then he'll tell me, basically, jump off the cliff. You'll be out of this. You don't have to worry about that. And this is how so much suicide is going on. So where's our God? We're not focused on God anymore. We're focused on the conditions or the you know, whatever is going on in our lives, we have allowed to take over and not submitted ourselves to God or not gone to God anymore. Now we've put ourselves in the place of God, trying to make things happen that we will never be able to have, bringing on anxieties and worries because we're out of place trying to be God and trying to do what God does. We do it with our family. We do it with our children. We do it with we try to control other people because we've just gotten ourselves into a place that we can't do anything about. Then we become hopeless. We've forgotten about God and the Word of God, because now we will rise ourselves above God. We will be like Him. And, of course, we end up in the same situation as Satan on our way to hell. God has given us the answers to all of our problems. And then to console us even more, He will tell us, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yes, you must suffer. We must suffer. Christ suffered. Who are we? That's our plight. Paul did it, and in the end he said, I fought a good fight. That's what I want to say. Hey, I fought a good fight. But we don't want to suffer. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is not a bed of roses. We're not here for that. You fight, you get wounded. But God will heal. He'll heal. He'll heal your wounds, mend you up, and send you on back out there to fight. That's the way it goes. Look at the basketball players and the football players. They break ankles, they break knees, they do all this. They patch them up, fix them up real good, send them on back out there. They do it till they retire. Well, let me tell you something. Our retirement is not here. Our retirement and our reward is soon coming if we stay steadfast and not be double-minded. Make up your mind. Make up our mind. For Christ we live, and for Christ we die.
Mm-hmm.
For God we live, for God we die.
Mm-hmm.
And what you really would blow your mind is your suffering is for your good. We wouldn't move if it wasn't for suffering. We wouldn't go higher if it wasn't for suffering. We wouldn't seek God if it wasn't for suffering. We wouldn't change our minds if it wasn't for suffering. Suffering's good, but it's not something we want. But it comes with the territory. This is the way. Paul was okay with it all. He was okay with it all. He was okay if he had something. He was okay if he didn't. But this is the way we have to train our minds, that we can be at peace, because that's how we're going to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is a combination of all of this: submitting to God, obeying God, coming to Him with prayer, believing on Him and thanking Him regardless of the circumstances we see. That's what brings us to peace, where we can sleep at night and don't have to take Xanax and Prozac. Now, I'm not putting those things down, because I have been where I had to have that at that particular time. But thank God, God has guided me with a knowledge and a wisdom about Him and another level, that I was able to put it away. I don't have to take it now. But there was a time, because God deals with us in every area of our life, wherever we are. He provides a way out for His people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are not where we can trust God, but it's no sense in dying when He allows a way out for the time being. Don't mean you're going to stay that way, because if you do what He say, you won't. But God is an all-encompassing God. He deals with us in every area of our life. He made us three-part beings, and believe me, He deals in three-part beings with us. He don't deal just spiritually, because we're not, that don't make us whole, all whole. He made this flesh, He made this body, and He made everything to take care of it. And you got to admit to this. If you are extremely overweight and you ate yourself there, you don't go to God to tell him to take away the calories that you constantly eating to get fat. You can ask him for the strength to resist it and not be a glutton.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't pray your way into that fat.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't pray your way into that gluttony. So it's going to mm-hmm. take some effort on your natural, in your natural sense, to say no, to say no. You ain't mm-hmm. getting that today. You're not going to eat this today. You can't eat a cookie, so you're getting no cookie. You can't govern yourself with a cookie. You're going to be abstinent from a cookie. I know. I used to weigh 230 pounds and dying. I was praying for God to heal me. I was looking for the doctor to save me. And when the doctor said he couldn't do anything else for me, I was mad at the doctor. I told you not to let me die. I was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And God spoke to me and said, you want him to do something that you won't do? And you're going to put him in my place? And that's why I was going to die. And I was going to die. But I thank God for his mercy and his grace.
Mm-hmm.
He provided me a way out of dying. He provided me a resources, spiritual and natural, because I had to deal with the body. And then I had to deal with my emotions. So God provided in all areas of my life. And that is what God does. You cannot do stuff in the natural and think that you could always. You can't ask God to get you out of debt when you're constantly getting in debt. When God tells you in his word, don't get in debt, it makes you a slave. You go and get one credit to pay off all your credit cards instead of paying it off and learning from it and not getting more trouble. You still charge it up. You get some more credit cards because you got some more space.
Mm-hmm.
And you're constantly asking God to get you out of a situation because you really don't want to get out of. And then you hold God responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. No. No. It don't work like that. And then you're mad at God. You don't want to face the truth. We don't want to face the truth. But the truth is going to set us free. But mm-hmm. we don't want that. So guess what all that leads to? You're in a situation that you can't do anything about, which leads you into hopelessness and depression. And then we want somebody else to get us out of it. When God don't get us out of it. And then we mad at God, and then we mad at the other people for doing what we supposed to do. Well, the only problem to that, nobody gonna suffer for it but you. Your attitude is only gonna get us isolated, because we're gonna isolate ourselves. And when the deal go down, ain't nobody gonna help but you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lose-lose situation when it don't have mm-hmm. to be. You worrying day and night, you can't sleep. Who caused it? Now, we must all admit that we cause these things, or many of these things on us. Some way or the other, we have some type of situation that most of the time we cause. Now, there's some things that we don't cause. We don't know we cause. It don't mean that we didn't cause it just because we don't know we caused it. All we got to do is search the Word of God, and then we'll find somewhere in most of those situations that we put ourselves in a position to create something. The other thing is to be truthful. Unless we be truthful and honest about where we are, none of this means anything. If we want to stay where we are and want to blame God and blame other people and stay worrying and stay and say, oh, well, I was just born a worrier. Is nobody going to suffer for it but us. Nobody's going to nobody's going to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge but us. And the Bible says that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But if we seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, this don't have to be. We can have what we want. It's God's will that we have what we want, as long as it's in his will And we learn how to be appreciative of God, our Master, our King, our Savior, our love, our hope. Till we get to there, then we are practicing being God. That's not going to work. We trust Him till we have the pain. If that's what helps you remember, you must trust Him. When the devil tell you, when the doctor tell you you don't have no hope, what do you think Satan's going to use to take you back? If you don't have any pain in your body, then you'll believe you healed. It's a pain that challenges you to stand on the word of God. Why? Because you don't have no other choice. You either do or die. When the doctor told me that, it was do or die. I had been miserable most of my life, even as a Christian. I didn't want to die like that. I knew I hadn't even fulfilled my promise. And then the Lord let you. And you know what they say about your life comes before you die? Oh, I got that experience. Now, I've been saved not a long time. I was still a baby in a lot of ways. But my life came before me. Lord, I looked at my life thinking I had did all this good stuff. And I was on such the right road. I even said, I'm ready to go. I mean, I can go. When my life became before me, I found out the things that I thought was so important was not the things that were so important. And the things that I thought was less important was the things that should have been more important. It was like I already stood in the judgment, and I was getting ready to die, and it was no time or nothing to do anything about. You know what? That's worse than death. That is worse than death. Now, see, I can understand how many people are going to get before God and going to be saying, well, you know, I did this in your name, and I did this. And He's going to say, depart from me. You worked iniquity. I didn't know you. I can see me getting before God. What? Wait a minute. No. And as I'm going, my works burned up because my motives, what I thought was not. Why? Because many of the times that I did what I did thinking in my own way, it was the right way and it was a good way, and this is what I ought to do. That's why the Bible tells you, lean not toward your own understanding, because my understanding would have got me messed up. And you know what I did? I thanked God for having mercy to not let me die without, I could repent, yes. I could repent. You can repent, yes. But when you rather have your works appreciated, your gifts appreciated, but we go with our own way of thinking and our own motives that are not always pure, because the Bible says that a man can do something and think that he's right, but the end thereof is death. That's why we must seek the true word of God. We must find out the real truth, God's truth, not ours. That's why we must study the Bible, rightly divided through the discernment of the Holy Spirit. That's why it is so important to pray in the Spirit, to seek God, because we serve God in spirit and in truth. That is the only way that we have a surety of what we're doing and what our life ends up portraying. I want to say this too. This is another story, but it's a true story. It's a true statement. And it was something that a diplomat said. His name was James Russell Lowell. And he said this, let us be of good cheer, remembering that the misfortunes hardest to bear are those which never happen. That goes back to evil foreboding. I'll never be rich. I don't never want to be rich because it's too much trouble with being rich. That's because that's way beyond your understanding. You wouldn't know what to do. But all these things, all these things come through God that you're wishing for, and you reject it because we reject it because we don't know how to get rich. We don't know what it takes to get rich. We don't know how we act if we be rich. So the fear of it keeps us from ever trying. And that's on the highest level. Now, we can go to a low level. Let me tell you how young Satan will attack. My little grandbaby, she's 6 years old. She was here for the holiday. And she and boy, we at war. The devil and I, we at war. But see, I got this. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered, and the tender mercies of God hovers over the seed of the righteous. So when you're scared about your children, you can't go to sleep, and you're scared about your, let me tell you, that's fear. You got to do the same thing with them, concerning them, that you do for every other thing with God. But if Satan will attack the most important things to you, why should he attack you in areas that he know he can't get you? He's going to attack you at the nearest point of where he thinks he could get you to fall. Your children, your grandchildren, your children's come, your great-grandchildren, they are the most important things to you beside God. God, hopefully God first and them second, and your husband. But my grandbaby, her mother told her not to do something. Well, she tells her mother, well, why? Because of this, this, this. And her mother said to her, she says, have not spoken to you about that. You're not the mother. So she corrected her, and I think she did a good job verbally. It was very motherly, very good. So my baby granddaughter, she left out of the room, and she isolated herself. And she began to think, and you could see Satan trying to obsess her. And she came to the door, and she stood in the front door of her mother, and she just stared at her. And her mother said to her, you've got to make yourself, you got to be good. And my granddaughter looked at her with this cold expression, and she says to her, I can't be good. I just can't. Satan will attack your child from the womb, because as you think, you imputed to that child. I used to not believe that, but I have tendencies to believe that now. However, God is able to shield what's important to you. He knows. And what helped me go to sleep at night and stop worrying about those, my kids being disobedient and sneaking out and doing all these things, and I relied on the word of God. Otherwise, I'd be dead, because I was diabetic at the time, and when my body would react to what they would do, I would go fall out into a coma, diabetic coma, and so on like that. But one day I woke up, and I heard these words, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. That's the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the tender mercies of God shall hover. Do you know what hover? Hover over the seed of the righteous. I said, they're in your hands, God. They're going to be all right. I go to sleep at night. I go to sleep at night. And a lot of my kids have done things. They've been shot. They've been stabbed. They've been, you know, and they've been almost assassinated and all, and the things that they would do. But you know what? The Bible says, train a child in the way. Train him. And he shall not depart from him. Now, he may go out there and do whatever, but you got two things to lean on, the tender mercies of God and what you put in him. Because even though they're doing wrong, they can't get away from what you have put instilled in their mind. They can't get away from it. It makes it more difficult for them to do the things they do. they will never, even though they may do it until, unless something drastic happened where their minds are sealed or something like that, and as long as you stay in prayer for them, hey, God got them. Give them back to their father. You're just a surrogate. Give them back to their dad, their real parent. You can't do nothing with them, give them back to their real parent, their real creator. You're just a surrogate. You do the best you can, and when you can't handle it, you give them back to where he came from, the one that can do something. That's a little bit off beat, but, you know, it's food for thought. I want to say this, too. Anxiety, which is nothing but worry, consumes huge amounts of time and energy. It's totally unprofitable. It can't change anything. It can't change your past sins or whatever you've done. It cannot, in other words, it cannot take the place of God. And that's what it, worry is like a replacement of God. It puts down all of what God stands for. It does away. It's like tradition. A tradition. It does away with the laws of God. It opposes the laws of God. It serves no positive purpose. It has no positive outcome. It, like I said, it cannot correct your past mistakes. It can't prevent anything that happens in your future. It can't offset any calamity. It cannot supply anything you need. What is it good for? That's what they say about war. What is it good for? What is it good for? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you do not have to endure it. You know, I want to ask this question, too. Have you ever worried so much that you set up and you woke up out of your sleep and remember something you forgot to worry about? Now, I know that seems real crazy, but I'm going to ask this question. Don't raise your hand. I can't see them anyway. Worry is a tormentor. All it does is worry you. Doubt. It's just one of those things that comes with worry. Because, you know, for you to worry, you have to doubt God. And I don't care how you pretty it up and say, well, I really don't worry. But, you know, you can do anything you want to do, but you better get honest. We better get honest. We better get honest. Because you know what? You'll live this life in agony. You'll live it in depression. You'll live it unhappy. You'll wish you was dead, but you're too coward to commit suicide. And that's the thank God that you know, that's imputed. But then you got people that are doing it because they work themselves into a state of hopelessness where they even feel that, okay, I can take my life because, you know, I today I'm going to exalt myself I'm going to exalt myself, and I'm going to be like God. God gives life, and he takes it. I'm going to take my life today. I'm going to put myself in the place of God. Now, you can preach that into heaven all you want to, but when it is go down, God's going to be the one, the judge. Bible says this about foolish and imprudent, evil, sinful behavior. That comes from evil thinking. Job 4:8 says, even as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. They reap the same. You know, you can go back to be not deceived. For God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sow, that he shall reap, or surely reap. It's the same thing. The Bible backs up everything it says. Those things that I talked about earlier, about the things that we do and we dress it up, even in the church, we dress it all up to make it look like a white lie, or it's not as bad, or it's got another meaning because we did it. It applies to everybody but me. It doesn't matter. if you're evil foreboding, if you're evil thinking about anybody, if you slander, even if you're telling the truth and you tell somebody about somebody that could change their way of thinking about that person in a negative way, that's called slander. If you think I'm lying, look it up. We do a lot of slandering in the church. It's not right. That's not what God. That's not what God. You know, even in what we do, God will encourage us to do better. And that's what I love about God. He encouraged you to be better, to do better. When Paul addressed the church of Corinth, he didn't tell them, he didn't call them names and tell them things. That he said this, you better than this. You're better than this. This is not how you act. You're above this. He didn't call them names and call them out of their name and say this. He spoke positive. These things should not be among you. You're different. You're better than this. And we're gonna have to give an account to some things unless we get honest and start doing better. And you know, I keep saying how to do better. And that's God wants us. He wants us to be honest with ourselves, and then let him do the increase in us. But we have to go to him. We have to go to him in spirit, and we have to go to him in truth. We serve him in spirit and truth. So that's what we have to do. And that helps us, too, in overcoming worry. And we don't do things even in our own way of thinking. We must always put whatever we do, we put it up against the word of God first. And that way it tells you whether it's okay or not. Because the Bible is going to specifically let you know, and God will not have you ignorant. That's what his word said. I will not have you ignorant. But you now, you can choose to ignore. You can choose to ignore and make it right. But it's not, and it may work for you here, but it's not going to work for you in heaven. It's not going to work for you before God. Whatever your excuses, our excuses are that we use to justify the things we do here may be okay with a certain group that are like us or ourselves. Satan is good. He's good at deceiving to make you think that so what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right. And he can do that not over in the world, but Satan will do it in the church. He will do it in the church more than he will do in the world, because if he gets you, it's nothing worse than a brother that has offended another brother and want to go back and ask for forgiveness and stuff. So he knows if he can offend you, he can offend many and cause you to do wrong, because somebody's life is dependent on you. The Bible says you can give life or you can take it with your tongue. That's why we have to be so careful not to run judging, and that's one of the biggest sins we got, judging and condemning. The Bible says that today there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus and called according to his purpose. So how do we condemn? How we make it, how does the traditions of men make that right? I heard this, you see a tree, if you tell a tree by its fruit, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those of us, even in church, that say we have no sin. Well, you have no sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood covers you. But in the natural, men are looking at you. They're patterning themselves after you. And if you do things that cause men to fall, that's why Paul says, even though to him there was no restrictions. Now I'm putting this in, you know, in man's. Well, I'm putting this in a where you could understand it. Even though what I do is lawful to me, but if I've got a baby that's learning from me and it's not. it's a sin to him, then I don't want to put him in a position to sin because he's still feeling guilty about it. It wouldn't be convenient. But for the love of the brother or sister, it's certain things that you make sure that you don't do. And the first thing I was taught was judging. Ain't nobody going to heaven but me, but this denomination. That's what I was taught. Paul said, Paul preached against this. He preached against all this denomination. And Jesus said, look, if they're not against us, then they must be for us. Because the 12 apostles thought that they were the only one entitled to claim themselves as disciples or followers or learners of Christ. So even at that time, there was about 72 other disciples. And when they came about, they forbid anybody else to get close to God because they wanted their rights. Was it right? No, it wasn't right. But we do this today. We do this today. But we got to get checked because we got a war. And the war is urgent. We're losing even saints. We're losing even our own. We're so busy fighting within ourselves, we're not even outside. The outside's looking at us and saying, no, I don't want to be like them. I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to that. Some of them say they're going to hell just like us, up in there. That's not what we want. That's not what we represent. That's not, and confusion is not of God. And when you got confused, you got everything under the sun. There's no limitations. You have got confusion in the church. You got everything under the sun, just like out there. So we got to get this together. We got to get together. We got to submit ourselves to God. We have to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then we can operate in the way that we need to do in order to draw others. Our war is not with us. Our war is with Satan against the people that need to come in and be transformed. But we must first transform our minds through Christ Jesus. And he will do that for us if we will seek him. Cut out worry, submit to God and his way and his word and what he says. Another one of our problems is laziness. Lazy people. It goes both ways. Laziness. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Here it is. The soul of the diligent will be made rich. Here you go. There go, you're rich. Now, did you hear this part? Will be made rich. That means what you got to do with it. Your thing is what? Don't be lazy. You know, I used to do things like, okay, my clothes will always be down. The rest of the house will be clean. The clothes will be down. The more I get stressed, the more the clothes will be down. I'm stressed because so many clothes are down, and now it's overwhelming. But it could have been remedied with one thing. When I got ready to pull something off that night, whatever I was going to do with it, I didn't feel like it that night. And you know what I started thinking? How many seconds would it take me when I take it off to do one thing or the other with it? So I decided to time myself. Do you know, we weren't even talking about minutes. We're talking about seconds. To do it right then, to resist laziness right then, could take as much as 2 seconds. The thought. it took as long, as much as it took to think that I'm too tired, I don't feel like it, I could have hung it up. Or I could have put it in the dirty clothes hamper. And guess what? If I did that diligently, consistently, I would not be overwhelmed by so many clothes at the end of the week that I want to run and close the door and not confront it. And that's what we do in life. Fear causes us, laziness causes us not to do the simple things that we need to do to build our relationship with God and encourage and strengthen ourselves to do the right thing. Laziness does that. Worry and fear comes when you got to do it anyway. And then the thoughts that come with it causes you to become immobile where you can't do it. And yet still, we won't listen to the truth or when God speaks to us. We just run away and hide. Well, the problem's not going away. You just got to put your head down and run into it. Tell yourself, no, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. It take you 1 second. It take you more time to think about it than to do it. So we overcome laziness by being diligent. To be consistent. To make ourselves do what we got to do. And we shall be made rich. How? In thought. In prosperity, in relationships. You know you need to mend a relationship. Bible said, don't go down. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't, you know, there's certain things here. Before you bring your gift to me, you got to take it to your brother. You got to go to your brother first, get it right, and then come back. And then give me a gift. You can't give it to me any kind of way. But pride, we dress it all up. We run away from it. We look another way and put another name on it. We blame somebody else. They need to come to me because they offended me. All this stuff. But the more you do, the more you say, hey, I'm sorry. Whether you guilt or not, it becomes a practice. It don't hurt so bad. It don't. You know how they say you got to give up the right for the wrong? It don't hurt so bad because you're killing pride. And that's your bottom line. You try to kill something. You try to get rid of everything that's not the ways of God. I promise you, the Bible will not condemn you for saying you're sorry for something you didn't. You didn't do. Just say, I'm sorry. You know, if it's just, I'm sorry if what I said offended you. It may have been the truth. They may have needed to be told. But you still didn't want them to just be hurt. You would rather that they accept it. And thank you, that's what you really wish. They thank you, say, oh, I know you love me. You deserve. No, but it depending on the state they're in, that you can allow them to be in the state they're in and still say, look, I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm sorry, you know, that I hurt you. If I offended you, I'm sorry. It's worth it to be able to go back to God and give your gift of thanksgiving and get rewarded for it. Because you gave something to the king, so God's going to give something back to you. So, you know, you can't be lazy and you can't be not focused and you cannot be diligent. You have to be diligent. We have to continue to practice to do the things that we need to do to overcome worry. And then this is the last thing I want to talk about is extremities. I was born extreme. I'd either be extreme to one way or the other. If I was bad, I was super bad. If I wanted to be good, I tried to be super good. And there was no balance. There was no middle ground. You know, So therefore, my life, and then a lot of my life I lived as a perfectionist. Now, can you imagine being a perfectionist trying to write a paper? How many trash cans can hold a ball of paper from a perfectionist? You can't get enough. And at the end of the day, you fail your test because the words weren't right enough. You don't complete tests, you don't complete essays, you don't complete much because you got to be such to the extreme of right that you don't make the test. It's not that you don't understand it or anything like that, but you can't get past it. Got to be just right. Well, you know, that's where the blood of Jesus Christ come in. We are not going to be perfect like that. We're not. We strive. But we are not going to be without doing something. And that was the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth, to give us first an example of he not submitting to his will, but to the will of God. That's why he said these things, nevertheless. He put God first. His feelings was there. He was afraid. His feelings wanted to get out of it. But it wasn't about him. It was about the kingdom. It was about God. And that's the way it has to be with us. It can't be about us. It's got to be about the kingdom. It can't be about our emotions and how we feel. We don't have time. It's about the kingdom. And God and Jesus went and he got his reward. He said to his mother, "It is finished. It is accomplished." What's accomplished? The will of God. That's what we work for, and that will take away the worry. Because it won't be about us and what we have and what we don't have. It's just you focus on what it's about. It's about the kingdom. It's about God's will that as many should not perish as can, because that's not what he wants. That is not, hell was not meant for people. It was meant for Satan and his angels, but it enlarges itself every day. Why? Because people are choosing out of a lack of understanding, or being deceived, or not being taught, or not being shown that there's a better way, because we as saints are caught up about ourselves. We put us first instead of putting God first and letting God do what he do, and we do what we do. Ours is so simple. You know what? You know what our main goal should be? It's to never let go of our faith. Whatever it takes to keep our faith, that's our job. Because if you got faith, guess what? You're going to obey God. Because you believe everything he says, and you believe he'll do whatever he says he'll do. So then there's no need for you to practice whatever we practice. There's no need for us to go to a witch and be in a church, or join sororities in order to enhance what we learn at church. There's no need for that, because if we maintain our faith in God, he does everything else. He does everything. If you go through the Bible, you will see that he causes. He does this. He does this. If you do this, I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. It's God that does it. If we maintain our faith, we shut out worry. That's how we overcome it. You know what? On the things that we do, it says the soul. I talked about that. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of a diligent shall be made rich. And then Proverbs 23:4 says, "Do not overwork to be rich." Because of your own understanding. And it has emphasis. Stop it. The Bible said God gives what? He gives us the idea and the ability to get rich. He does that. He teaches. He provides. And whatever he ordains, God maintains. We have no need to worry, but we choose. Some of us choose to worry now because it gets us the attention. It gets us the constant prayers. It gives us a false sense of being loved. Some people just, they need to worry because they're so insecure. I know people like that. And you can tell them all the time, and they'll say, I wish I was like you. I wish I could do what you do. You seem like you don't have a worry in the world. And you can tell them how not to have a worry in the world, even though you know it's not true now. But you can tell them your experience of how not to worry for where you are, and you'll notice that they'll never take your advice. You give them a book to read. You give them the book. They'll never read it. You don't see them in the Bible. You don't see them searching. All you see them is doing the same thing they always do, but they can be surrounded by a group of people all the time because misery loves company. But I want to tell you this too. Bad company corrupts good manners. Well, I don't condemn them people. I stay away from them. Because I don't have to. If you don't watch it, you'll be consumed. You'll find yourself going over into their area of negativity, negative talking. You got to stay away from those people. Bible tell you not to associate yourself with an angry man. Now, this sounds off, but these are the things where you can take on worry. You can take on anxiety. You take on somebody else. It's called spirits transfer. Yeah, they may not be able to possess you, but they surely will try to obsess you. So you have to be careful who you hang around, that you don't hang around people with negative. You try to help them, but the Bible tells you this, see the very existence of evil. If they're not trying to change, run like a rabbit. Find you somewhere you can grow. Find you somebody that's even more positive than you. Mark a just man. Mark a perfect man. I mean, you know, perfect in what the Bible means. And then that's who, as long as he followed Christ, then you can follow that man. But the minute when he don't follow Christ, run like a rabbit. Because you're responsible for you. And you won't be able to get before God and say, well, I started back worrying because, you know, I was sort of looking at the news or the preacher in my church, I was looking at him and he fell. So, you know, the next thing I knew, I fell. No, God gave you, he gave you knowledge and he gave you perception. All the things that you need to be protected, God already put that in you. And then he does what you can't do. So seek ye first God, seek him first and his righteousness. His righteousness is very important, and that way you don't get caught up in the traditions of man. Okay, and Luke 12 says, 12:22-31 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, not what you will eat, nor about the body, what will you put on. And I said earlier, worry won't change your life for the better or for the positive. Worry is your enemy. God created us. God ordained us. God will maintain us. The very God that created you, put everything he wanted you to have and needed, and fixed you where he could work with you on the way to take you up higher, your creator, is the one that guards your life, the one that provides for you to eat, the one that can beautify you even in your old age, the one that can heal you, the one that can save you, the one that can protect you. He says, let me tell you something. We go through so much, and nobody even modeled us, but we have the worst problem. We not before the kings saying, do you take Christ as your Savior? You want to live or you want to die? We're not there yet. But, man, we have the greatest confrontations and the worst trials and tests just by somebody talking about us and somebody doing something to us, tricking us or whatever, and we trust in them, and then they betray us. The Bible said, don't put your trust in man. He may not even mean to do it, but he's capable of doing it. But God is perfect. He everything he does, and this will help, everything God does, even if it looks like it's bad, he loves us. He will not let no more come upon us than we can bear. He knows how much we can bear. He knows our thoughts are far off. He knows us better than we'll ever know ourselves because he created us. But his what he wants for us is the best. And sometimes he'll allow us to face things in order to develop us. Now, how we take it is the results we get. If we choose to worry, you get the results that worry bring about. Many people are mentally ill today because of worry. Because they get into a state of hopelessness. Because they try to be God and don't know they're trying to be God. There's only one God. There's only one God. And he fulfills our every need if we allow him to. Well, I think I've said enough for today. I think I've said enough because we've got to digest that. And I have to be partaker of the word of God myself first. I thank God for where he's got me, and I thank him for where he's going to take me, and I thank him for the successful outcome that when this life is over, I thank God. I can thank him now for what I know is going to happen. And that I don't have to worry anymore. I can be bold. And you can be bold. If you choose to think, and that's what we do. We choose our way of thinking. We choose to think positive when things are happening that we don't understand. If we choose to speak positive over things that seem to be so negative. If we choose to trust God instead of putting trust in ourselves. And, you know, and I say like this, you know, I have told God, God, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I thank you for where you're going to help me in this area. And I'm so grateful that I can trust you because I'm just going to be honest with you, God. I don't trust me. I don't trust me in this situation, but I trust you. I trust you to maintain me in this situation. I trust you to keep me focused in this situation to do what's right. Because I know me. I dress it up and do wrong and justify. And that's something that we've got to get out of. Got to be honest. It means our lives and it means other people's lives. And when we do these things, we can relax in God. And that alone will do away with the worry, overcome. It helps us to overcome worry. Get away from evil thoughts and retaliations and justifying it in the name of Jesus. Get away from that. Don't let the lie. You can choose that the devil don't talk to you and lie to you no more. That's our choice. We choose life or death. So I encourage us. And I encourage those that don't know God yet. I encourage those that have been discouraged because of other people's actions, even in the church, to not want to come to God. I encourage you to give them a chance. I encourage you just to look in the Word to see I'm telling the truth. I'm going to say it like in the way the world says it this time. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Choose not to worry. Be happy. Now, I don't know what the world intends on the way to be happy, because in the world, happiness is just a feeling. But you can be happy in the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Be happy in the Lord. And don't worry. And with that, everything will be all right. So I close now. But I want to pray. I want to pray for those that need to come to Christ, and we all do. And I want to pray for us that are in Christ, that we take this thing to heart and get very serious. And those that are where, you know, closer to where the mark or where we're trying to get to, help others and encourage others to get where we are. And we do that by love. The Bible says you know the brethren by the love, and we are overcome by each other's testimonies, and we hold each other up. Don't condemn, because you know who are we to judge another man's property? Who are we to judge God's people? I mean, we're God's people. You might be strong in one area, and I be weak in another. And then I may be strong in an area, and you may be weak in another. But iron sharpens iron. You know, we've got to come together and bear each other's infirmities, and still love each other, and work in unit. Because if we work in division, a house divided, it just can't stand. God's not going to have that. He's not going to have that. And we don't want to do all this work of whatever we're doing and then be found with weights that weigh us down, that beset us, and we cause others to fall and to fail because of our actions, our pride, situations that we won't overcome. They get us in the same place that others are, and they're looking at us, and we're trying to say, pray for people, and they're thinking to themselves, you're the one who need prayer for. Don't put your hands on me. I don't see nothing different in you than I'm in me. We don't want that. That's not what we're here for. So let's get on one accord. Let's get into the situation, into the positions that we are as warriors, and trust our God to the utmost. Seek his face. Put him first. Thank him and glorify him. And let's go do what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to tear down Satan's kingdom. We're going to build up the kingdom of God. We're going to grab every soul that God put before us to grab. in every assignment that he gives us, and we're going to go in mad, and we're going to take back what the devil took from us by force. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we come to you today first with thanksgiving, God, and worship you because you're God and God alone, and there's no other God but you. You're the one and true God. You're awesome. You're holy. You're magnificent. You're all in all. You're all encompassing. You're all seeing, all knowing. God, and with you, everything is possible. Lord God, we thank you. We invite you into our hearts and our minds and our lives, God. Lord God, for those that don't know you, God, Lord God, touch their hearts, break the shackles, and set them free, God. In the name of Jesus, loose, God. Loose, God, your Holy Spirit upon us. Rain, God, on us in the name of Jesus. All your people, God. All your people. For if my people will humble themselves and pray, God, help us to get in the position that we're supposed to be. That our nations will be healed, God. That our lands will be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord God, look on the sinners, the ones that don't know you, God. Prepare them, God, to give their lives to you. Steal the lies of Satan in their ear, God, as they repent to you and come to you and draw them as we exalt you, God, in the name of Jesus. For those that don't know God and you want to stop worrying, you want to overcome your fears, you just want some peace, you want to know him, you want to know of his power, you want another way, you want another life, you're tired, you're torn up, you're torn down, you feel like giving up, God is available. He loves you. He wants you, and he wants you to want him. He wants you to trust him, and he won't let you down. If you want this, just say with me, Father God, I acknowledge all my sins. I'm tired. I'm tired, and I want a better way. I believe that Jesus Christ came down from heaven to this earth. I believe that he gave his life on the cross for me. I believe that he went, he died, and I believe that he rose again. Father God, I entrust my all to you. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. And I thank you that I'm saved, that I'm sanctified and filled with your precious spirit. I pray the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father God, anoint them, saturate them, and fill them with your spirit and the evidence in Jesus' name. Of speaking in tongues, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you. We thank you as your body, God. We thank you. We give you praise, Almighty God, Majestic King, Savior of the world. Hallelujah to your name, God. Hallelujah to your name. We exalt you. We honor you. We praise you and we thank you. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do give thanks and honoring. We do glorify our Heavenly Father. This morning we thank the Lord for Pastor Patty that has gone forth in the word this morning. We thank God for those who are listening. We know that we have to absorb from and all that that you could not just write. We hope and pray that you wrote down the scriptures, and for the portion of the message that was recorded, we hope and pray that you will go back and listen to the recorded portion of it in the name of Jesus. We thank the Lord for everyone here this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of God that has gone forth today, God. And Lord, we know in the name of Jesus that your words, Father, shall not return void. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that every word that has gone forth today, God, has been sowed into good ground, into good soil, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we drinking from a pure river of life today, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the river of life that have flowed today through this service, Father. And we just give you the glory and the praise. We thank you for Resurrection Power Church in Christ. Apostle David Callender and his wife, Elect Lady Callender. We thank you today, God, for Mother Irene, Pastor Marcella. We thank you today, God, for Pastor Patty and all that she has given, Father. We ask that you give it back to her, oh God, 100-fold in the name of Jesus. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, oh God, that you will open up her mind even more, God. Reveal revelations even more, God, in the name of Jesus. So that if she has these revelations, God, that her walk will become more and more close to you. More power she shall receive, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that you have placed over her life today, God, to destroy the yokes and break every chain, God. We thank you today, God. Lord, we thank you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, of Sister Christina and her family, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just keep them, Father, before the throne of grace. We thank you for all of our children, Father. We pray for this nation and the leaders of this nation, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask, O God, that you will cover all the pastors and leaders today, God. In the name of Jesus, allow your angels to surround us and protect us, keeping us safe in your will, Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Mother Irene, are you still here? Mother Irene?
No, Mother fall off the line now.
Okay.
A few people fall off. About 8-9 people was on
and
the
I'm
line this morning.
I'm about to fall off, and I know I won't be able to get back on. So,
it was a very powerful teaching this morning. I really enjoyed it, but we're not recording right now. But we have to be very cognizant of the salvation. That is very key to me and to God. We have to allow ourselves the time to record, because Minister Patty did the prayer of salvation, but it was for us. It was just for us, and I want it to be for the world, not just for us, because at that time of doing salvation was not recorded. So we need to be able to minister for about an hour and a half and do the prayer of salvation. Then if you have more to release, then come back after prayer of salvation. This is not a rebuke. It's just to get us on one accord so that we can that prayer of salvation on court, that is really the key to what God is doing here on this here time, so that people all over the world, while we're eating fried chicken and our big spare ribs and so on, people are saved. While we are sleeping, while we are working, while we are doing whatever we are doing, people are getting saved by what we're doing here in the United States of America. So just remember that, all of us, remember that. And I think that what I'm going to ask us to do, if we can do that, if we can be obedient to the voice of God before we begin to minister, because we don't know how the Lord is going to take it. That's why they never tried to stop her. You know, I let her just flow because I know she was flowing in the Spirit. So I didn't try to stop her. I'm very obedient to the voice of God. But what we're going to do from here on, I don't care who is teaching, who is preaching. Me, if it's you, if it's next person, whoever it is, we're going to come on in and we're going to start the prayer of salvation so that when the Spirit of God move on us, we don't have to worry that we didn't get it on the recorder. So just remember that. You all have been told. I've been told, because I went inside and things preparing to install a new garbage disposal in this house, and I got to change kitchen sink faucet, so I got to go and buy those things so I can. I was cleaning out underneath the kitchen sink. That's why I need a phone so I could do these things. But let's do that, okay, so that when we come on to minister, let's get the prayer of salvation off on the recording first. Because I believe with my heart that's what God wants done so people can be saved. I think that that's what our calling is about, to souls to be saved. And then when the Holy Spirit jumps on us, we don't have to work on stopping. If you take the whole rest of the time and nobody gets to share, it doesn't matter to me. As long as you get that salvation on, okay? I love you all so much. Thank you, Minister Patty. I bless the Lord for you. Pray that the Lord imparted you twice as much of what you put out. There was so much that you said. I got to go back and put my headphones on and really digest all of that. It was a lot of information. And, you know, information is power. And they say it this way, knowledge is power. So the more knowledge you get, the more power you have. And the power that you get is the power to be overtake the enemy. So just go on, have a blessed day. We'll be on again tomorrow. We don't know who's going to bring the message tomorrow, but we'll know by the time I get back here from the store. The Holy Spirit will let me know. But we'll be on tomorrow morning at 9:30. Have a blessed day. Remember somewhere that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you share with somebody today can save their life, stop them from committing suicide, stop them from murdering somebody, maiming somebody, or abusing somebody. And maybe that word that you shared might change somebody's life. It's simple, but it's a powerful word. I see Deacon Keisha been using it, and people have been jumping on it all the time. They said, my God, girl, where you get that from? She said, well, Apostle kind of telling me to share that. I said, well, God, give it to me. It's not mine. God, give it to me. It's all of us. It belongs to all of us. Give it so we can use it to set somebody free. See, sometimes it's very difficult when you give the whole Bible to some people that don't know the Bible because you run them away from you. But something like this can change somebody's life. Have a blessed day. I love to see you all tomorrow. Have a blessed day. I love you. Thank you, Minister Pat, for sharing the word.
Yes,
and Evangelist, thank you for coming in and backing up there for me while I was doing some things in the house. God bless you and have a blessed day. I love you all. Bye-bye. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, boss. Thank you. Thank you for that word.